And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, wow. Just making common sense like a superpower. I got several text messages. Text lines are indeed open. 833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT. What do we got here? Barry from Huntsville says, Phil, Boy Scouts of America changed its name effective February 8th of 2025. Okay, but they put the press release out today, though. He says, what a shame. I'm done with supporting the BSA or its shadow of its former self. Barry from Huntsville. Yeah, I mean, that's weird. I got a whole dipper on this, man. It's I'll go one step further. And I had somebody, and by the way, my dad was my uncle was an Eagle Scout. My dad, just before his Eagle Scout, before he got his Eagle, his Boy Scout leader died of a heart attack, and they disbanded the troops. My dad always regretted he never got to go back and do it. Me, I was a Cub Scout and a Weeblo, but we moved so much so I didn't ever finish from there on. But I had friends that were Eagle Scouts. It's always been an impressive organization. I've always thought the world of the scouting, but something about the last 8 to 10 years, the deterioration of what we've always known to be the Boy Scouts. It's another one of those classic places where you're not allowed. You're just not allowed to have a place where boys can be boys. Not. You're not. You got to be able. If they say they're a boy, then you've got to let them in. Okay, good. So we've got little girls who think they're boys, and you're going to go ahead and mollycoddle that. And then they're going to share camping quarters, sharing tents and sharing bathrooms and sharing everything else. And then you're going to have girls. Girls are going, oh, cool. So girls get to be Boy Scouts? Why is that? Well, they deserve an opportunity because they didn't have a Girl Scout troop in their area, so we're going to let them in. Whose fault is that? Go out there and start up a Girl Scout troop. And I had somebody on this morning saying, you know, we've had girls in there for quite a while, since the late 90s. It's not a big thing. And I said, it is a big thing. And they said, you're kind of wrong on your comments. You're a little bit blown out of proportion. No, I don't think I am, when I show them the press release from Human Rights Campaign, the biggest LGBTQ activist group that's crowing about getting transgender kids into scouting. And then, you know, it turns out, and I'm sort of giving away the secret sauce here because the dipper is going to be good. It's got a lot of stuff in it. But it turns out that the latest merit badge that you have to get to be able to earn your Eagle. Before you can be an Eagle Scout, you have to get, you know, you have to run the whole panoply and do the things necessary and their projects and all of it. But one of the newest merit badges, I think it was in 2022, I believe it's called, and I'll find the article here in a minute. It's called the Good American Citizen Award or something like that. It specifies that in order to obtain that merit badge, you have to go through classes on diversity, equity, and inclusion, and talk about how they will be applied in society. Okay. So that's where we are. And they are no longer the Boy Scouts. Anyway, it's a crying shame. It's a crying freaking shame. JoJo from Coleman says, hey, Phil, I think they just need to do away completely with the boy and the Girl Scouts, since neither one are what they are. They're no longer tend to be or stand before or with. Well, that's a hard sentence to read, dude. He says, it's very sad that our children today can no longer participate in any wholesome clubs anymore. They used to literally change children who would otherwise be unsuccessful to successful because of the training of morals, life skills, survival, good old-fashioned challenges that they could have had a goal to earn badges or patches and camaraderie, all gone. So I no longer support either group in any way, including the sale of Girl Scout cookies. And that, my friends, is a crying shame. Somebody else this morning on my social media said, are they going to keep selling Girl Scout cookies or keep selling cookies? And I said, well, they can't sell thin mints because it makes the fat mints feel bad. That's where we are. Just saying. John from Huntsville says, Phil, awesome monologue. Hope everybody in our local area is weather aware tonight. The meteorologists are saying it's going to get real nasty tonight with a decent chance of tornadoes. I did not know that. Said also, if Jeff from Indiana is listening, I want to know if he's ever had pickled beet eggs. Pickled beet eggs? Beets don't lay eggs. What are you saying to me, John? Beet eggs. Pickled beets or pickled eggs, but not pickled beet eggs.
Knowing Jeff, he's probably had it.
If it's at a truck stop, he has.
Yeah.
Now, they do have, I saw these, and if David wants to text in and confirm because he's at Bucky's, I did see at Bucky's you can buy pickled quail eggs. I don't know why, but Buc-ee's is quite the unique place. You can go to Buc-ee's. You can get gas. You can wash your car. You can get a pretty healthy-sized barbecue sandwich, take a shower, and buy a scented candle and some pickled quail eggs all in one place.
The only thing they don't got is a roller coaster.
No, nah, it's coming. It's coming. They're gonna have a roller coaster, I feel certain. All right, we're taking a break. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, wow. Covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. This one right here. Y'all, I'm talking about Alabama. Yeah, this show goes like way down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. Hey, by the way, I am pleased to announce that the latest edition of the new Right Philosophy video podcast is out. We're really stoked about this, and we really appreciate the reception we've got on it, too. But you can find it right now on the rightsideradio.org website, rightsideradio.org. Go to the podcast tab. Click on the Right Philosophy, and there's now 5 different podcast episodes up. This is all video. I'm filming it from the house. Kind of picture the same kind of style and content of my monologues, but it's video format, and I'm really enjoying doing it. It's kind of a hoot. But anyway, it's out there right now. Episode number 5. This one's called Participation Trophies. So go check it out. Right Philosophy Podcast on rightsideradio.org. All right, I got a bunch of text messages all of a sudden. Mm-hmm. Goodness. I guess I better try and... Can I keep... All right. We're doing the Boy Scout thing later in the show. I really didn't mean to kick off like a mini dipper, but that's... I mean, I'm getting all filled up with texts.
I think everyone wants that topic first.
Apparently they do. By the way, John just sent us a picture. He said, Phil and Big Rig, here's a picture of pickled beet eggs. And he sent a picture of pickled beet eggs. The heck?
They're red.
I do not understand what is happening. Okay. John, you apparently have something that is unknown to science. I caution you against eating it. It probably belongs in a lab and is not FDA approved. There you go.
I don't know. I might try it.
Thomas from Athens says, I ran into an adult mentor and 3 Trail Life young men at a Home Depot in Huntsville last March. They explained to me that Trail Life... It was a faith-based development organization for males, only like the Boy Scouts of America used to be last century. I have 3 grandsons who were Eagle Scouts and the old school Boy Scouts. Yeah, in fact, I've got somebody. I'm looking at trying to find somebody to come on about Trail Life right now. It's real. It's a great program. I have a friend who actually leads the Trail Life troop at his church. And yes, they are good doings. And there's actually one for girls, too, called American Heritage Girls. And it's the old school. It's what you would have thought. Anyway, very cool. Thank you very much, Thomas from Athens. John from Elkmont says, the Boy Scouts, our libraries, our sports teams, there are no traditional American institutions, no matter how small, that the left is not trying to destroy. That is their plan, man. And by the way, go ahead and add your churches to that, too. Frank from Huntsville, it will become like the I don't know what you're saying to me, Frank. The LVQRT. What's the LVQRT? Scouts. Oh, I know what he's saying. You need to work on your voice text, Frank. He says it'll become the anyway, scouts are going to be just messed up. Let's leave it at that. Thank you, Frank. David from Athens says, yes, Buc-ee's does sell pickled quail eggs and pickled garlic, too. Holy cow. You talk about not having any friends left. Go eat a batch of pickled quail eggs and then suck down some pickled garlic. And while you're at it, why don't you just drink the juice out of the jar? You're not going to have any friends at all. None. But you keep the vampires away, though. There's that. You have no idea what I'm saying right now, do you?
No, I get it. I get it.
Ken from Harvest says, no surprise that membership in Boy Scouts is plummeting. Your listeners may be interested to know there's an alternative, Trail Life. There it is again. Trail Life USA, started by former scout leaders, is the organization I'm recommending for my grandsons. Indeed. Last couple. I think I got 3 here. Lisa from Huntsville. Oh, it's a long one. Oh, boy. My kids did not participate in Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts. However, my husband had both of them in Indian Guides. Yes! My good friend growing up, Stephen from Madison, he was in Indian Guides, if I recall. Indian guides and Indian princes. Anyway, I'm not sure with this when this changed, but the Indian guides wanted to allow mothers to go on overnights with the fathers and the sons. The organization formerly known as Indian Guides and Princesses is now known as Native Sons and Daughters. Really. So both my kids had the best experiences with their dad, made a bunch of new friends, had the time of their lives. It's sad when the world jumps into these organizations where boys cannot be boys and girls cannot be girls. Yeah, and she says they did deliberately to not let them in the Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts because they were seeing what was going on. I hear you. John from Harvest says, oh, by the way, that was Lisa from Huntsville. Phil, I'm a Boy Scout leader for 22 years. I had three sons go through the program, one Eagle and two Life. It was a great time. But let's just say when my last was done 4 years ago, I was glad I was done with it. Wow, John. Well, John, by the way, thank you for your service in that regard. Thank you for being there for kids. It's a shame, man. And last one, Tyler from Huntsville. Why are Dale Jackson commercials so dang loud? I have to almost mute my radio. I cannot explain this. It's a strange phenomenon. It's just, it's called the Dale Jackson effect. You'll have to ask him. I don't know. All right, let me jump on in here. First Dipper, blowing the shofar. If you're not familiar with the shofar, and in fact, I'll go ahead and give you that first. I'll just scan down here in my stack of stuff. The shofar is the traditional Jewish ram's horn that is blown ceremonially on different occasions. It's referenced in scripture. You got, like, for instance, Deuteronomy 30-2, hearing the shofar is meant to encourage you to return to the Lord and listen to his voice. Okay. It also is says in the Torah, when you go to war in your land against an adversary who is oppressing you, you are to sound an alarm with trumpets, and then you will be remembered before the Lord your God, and you will be saved from your enemies. That's from Numbers 10:9. So the ram's horn. I will never forget, y'all. Years ago, when was this, the 90s? Years ago when Promise Keepers was huge, I went with a whole bunch of guys to Washington, D.C. because Promise Keepers had the Million Men on the Mall. And it was unbelievable. And unlike Louis Farrakhan's Million Man March, we actually had a million people out there. I mean it. You had men on the, literally as far as you could see, from the Washington Monument all the way down to the Capitol. And we were praying and praising and praying over our nation. I think we need to do it again. But a million, just, I mean, wall-to-wall people. Every Port-a-John east of the Mississippi was there lining both sides of the. And also, by the way, it was super organized, super peaceful, super inspiring. And at one part, some of y'all may have been there, I do recall the people that were leading it said, we're about to blow the shofar. And they explained what that meant. And I'll be honest with you, when they sounded that horn, it sent chills up my spine. I felt like the second coming was upon us. But blowing the shofar has great symbolic and faith-based meaning. The other day, I watched a video online. And this blowing of the shofar was not super inspiring just in and of itself because it's almost like the rabbi was having trouble getting enough wind. But the video, about 2 minutes long, was Israeli troops standing arm in arm as their rabbi prayed over them next to a tank. And it was like a whole company size element. There was probably 100 of them. The rabbi is praying and they're all standing there arm in arm. And then he blew the shofar. And they went to battle. And I thought, that is just cool. That is just cool. Well, right now, Jews worldwide are somehow or another, I can't explain this because it makes no sense to me. Somehow or another, there is this media burst of anger and gatherings in different places like college campuses and wherever else, where it's suddenly like inspiring and somehow affirming to be anti-Jew. How does this happen? I don't know. It's wrong. It needs to stop. But listen, some of the things they're putting up with, and I'll just give you two examples that just ticked me off. One of them was a World War I memorial, I believe on George Washington University's campus, but a World War I memorial, a memorial to our fallen soldiers, was defaced with graffiti, had Palestinian protesters climbing on it with their flags, and they burned a U.S. flag right in front of it. That's a war memorial for our fallen. But I'll go one step further. I think it is further. It's one thing to say, we're burning this in effigy, and we are protesting, and we're going to take over this one monument. How about this story on the Jerusalem Post 2 days ago? No, yesterday. Pro-Palestinian protesters chanted "Free Palestine" outside of Auschwitz in Poland. Did you hear that? They are so shameless, so reckless, so uncaring that they will go to the place where Jews were exterminated and their bodies burned and protest Jews. That's like next level messed up. Says here, the pro-Palestinian protest occurred during a march commemorating the victims of the Holocaust on Holocaust Remembrance Day. Oh, it's right. It's not even just a normal day. They didn't just show up, you know, in the off season and go. No, they went there specifically because this is Holocaust Remembrance Day. It's like tearing down the American flag on Memorial Day, but worse, because this is the place where the bodies were consumed in fire, or gassed, or just abused. Footage revealed a large number of police placed around the circumference of the protest. It was reported that the police were creating a buffer to ensure the protesters did not interact with those who were participating in the March of the Living. There were all kinds of comments about it being sickening, about it being wrong, about, you know, there's just no shame whatsoever. But that's what we're seeing world over. So Israel is in a place right now where they've got to make some decisions. And the Biden administration is putting a great deal of our own national shame on public record, making it difficult. Report out just a little while ago while I'm sitting here in studio that the Pentagon has announced that they did withhold delivery of certain munitions because they're disagreeing with Israeli policy right now. By the way, let us not forget who started this fight. Can we please? Let's not forget who started this fight. The question has to be who started it. But I'm telling you right now who's going to end it. That's Israel. We get back from this. I'm going to tell you about some of the things they've done here in the last few days. They are taking this next level, y'all. And I want to remind you of the significance of what we're seeing. Y'all stand by. Blowing the shofar, that's where we are. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Well, I mean, like, that volume went up on me before it came back down. Was that you?
Finger slip.
I was like, anyway. Hey, listen, I'm back on this number one, the triple dipper, blowing the shofar. So here's what you need to know. And by the way, here's why it's also significant, because this is our ally. All right, this is our ally, dadgummit. Not only is it Israel, which a lot of us feel like we have an affinity for on a faith-based issue, but this is a democracy. This is the nation that we have been working with and allied with since their inception in 1948. Well, their re-inception. And look, they're also not wrong. So how in God's name are we possibly in the position where the Biden administration is waffling on what to do with Israel? Oh, we fully support Israel, but we're just not going to send them any more bombs. Oh, we fully support Israel, but we're not going to try and block that United Nations resolution against them. Oh, we really support Israel, but we're going to tell them they better back off or we're not going to be there for them. That's where we are right now with the Biden administration. Talking out both sides of their mouth. Listen, to give you an idea too, so, I mean, and I know some of y'all already know the map, but I'll say it anyway. Picture Israel. Which is, you know, maybe like half the, you know, the size of Alabama, half as wide. But then on its upper east side, you have what is known as the West Bank. It's the West Bank, and it's a part of the Palestinian Authority. By the way, Palestine is not a nation. So lest you think otherwise, or you have one of those water cooler conversations with a jackleg who doesn't understand world politics, Palestine is not a nation. Palestine is a people. It is a pseudo nation governed by the Palestinian Authority. All right. They are not recognized by the UN, although there is a push within the UN to recognize them. But you have the West Bank, and then come across Israel to the far side, you have Gaza. The two of those make up like a split grouping, a split entity. The capital is in the West Bank, but the capital kowtows to Hamas, and Hamas has been not only a terrorist faction, but they have pretty much been the political leader of Gaza, which is on the west side of Israel. Okay, all that to say, Gaza. I mean, picture running a line across just the northern strip of Alabama, and you get Madison, Huntsville, and Decatur all in a line. And there might be some smaller communities mixed in. There might be some like Harvest and, you know, and a few at Gurley and a few other, you know, smaller communities mixed in. But the three big ones, that's what Gaza's like. But they have twice as many people. So in a town, the square mileage of all of Huntsville proper, you've got twice as many people as Huntsville currently has. It's really crazy how much is packed into Gaza. Rafah is one of those cities. You've got Rafah, you've got Gaza City, you've got Khan Yunis, and you've got some smaller ones. But Rafah is the last of the big three in Gaza. Rafah is the place where they've been saying, don't go into Rafah. Listen, you can't come into Rafah. Oh, they're going into Rafah. They launched. They did. They made that happen. In fact, that blowing the shofar thing I told you about yesterday, that was a prayer and a blowing of the shofar before troops departed into Rafah. So Netanyahu's not been fooling around. He's been saying, and like here's a statement from March, Israel will not submit to the delusional demands of Hamas and will continue to act to achieve all the goals of war, which are release all the abductees, in other words, the hostages, to destroy the military and governmental capabilities of Hamas, and to ensure that Gaza will no longer pose a threat to Israel. This is as if Madison was somehow threatening Huntsville, and Huntsville said, that's enough of that. That's where this is. They touch each other. They can't live by each other anymore. It's gotten to the point that Israel says, we're done with this. But then you've got stuff like, where is the United States? Well, they are saying one thing and doing another. Like, for instance, last month, the United Nations Security Council passed a resolution demanding an immediate ceasefire. Why? For the month of Ramadan? Oh, you mean they want us to stop so they can have their prayer time? Anyway, they want a sustainable ceasefire. They want to stop during the month of Ramadan. The resolution was passed. The United States had veto authority. What'd they do? Under orders from the Biden White House, they abstained. Yeah, we're just going to step back. Y'all can handle this. What? What? That's what you do to your enemies. That's what you do to people who have ticked you off. That's what you do to send a signal that we're for you, but we're not for you. Abstaining, or taking a walk, if you will, is literally the poor man's version of a slap in the face. It's cowardly. All right. Story here from Red State. Despite Hamas's last-minute attempts to delay, Israel's war cabinet has voted unanimously to continue the operation in Rafah and put military pressure on Hamas. What just happened? So we had reports like yesterday, because this came off Red State 2 days ago. So 2 days ago, we had reports, hey, there's a peace agreement. Hamas has agreed to a ceasefire. Hamas has agreed to a ceasefire? What are they agreeing to? Nobody knows. They say they got the plan from Egypt and Qatar. Did they really? Or do they just make it up? Well, Israel and the United States are both saying, we have no idea what they're agreeing to because there's no plan that we've put out there for them. Yeah, they wanted to trade 33 Palestinian prisoners to get one hostage back. They want to stop all military operations. They'll send the hostages back dead or alive. And they wanted it to happen overnight to stop the mission in Rafah. So Israel blew the shofar and went in. I'll tell you more about it when we get back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. Be right back. Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, and oh yeah, even the international. And yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, Let us jump right onto the phones, because that appears to be Jeff Rowe from Indiana. Jeff Rowe, have you had any pickled eggs yet today?
No, I'm all out, man. You might go get your own. But don't get the Buc-ee's. The dude eggs are much better than Buc-ee's. Buc-ee's quail eggs and pickled eggs are Amish brand, and they're sweet. They got sugar in it, and I do not like a sweet pickled egg.
Well, I'm pretty sure eggs were never meant to be pickled in the first place. Just saying. No.
Have you never been to a tavern?
I have. This is one of those things where I look at it and go, that's just wrong. I refuse to eat one. Pickled eggs, no.
Oh, no. You've got to have your pickled bologna, and you've got to have your pickled egg. That's a tavern staple, man.
Did he say pickled bologna?
He said pickled bologna.
Oh, man.
He did. I'm pretty sure he eats pickled fried fish, too.
No, that'd be that. I think that's that Jewish fish, like in that gefilte fish.
Yeah, that's the gefilte fish. Ain't it? Enough of the gefilte fish. It makes me do all the schvetting on Eddie. No more of the gefilte. Oy vey. All right, so Jeff Rowe, what are you thinking about all this?
You know what the Israelis are doing right now, it's pretty much meaningless. Because unless they drive the Palestinians out of Israel proper, it's just going to keep coming back and back and forth. I mean, it'd be like saying, well, we're going to come in here and get rid of the Democrats out of the United States, and then, you know, let the other ones stay, and then, you know, they'll leave us alone for a while, maybe, until they regroup, and then they, these people, what people need to understand is, Palestinians, like you said, they're not a country, and they were the Arabs that was there when Israel was formed. They invited these people to join Israel and become part of the nation, and part of them are. There is Palestinians basically living in Israel in peace. This group here is the ones that said, no, we are not going to live in peace, and we're going to kill you. And they're basically in it's basically a refugee camp.
Yeah,
because
they
were unwilling to live peacefully.
Yeah, and you're making a perfect point, because if you read the statement that I had, well, I'll pick it up right here. I got it right here. When you read Netanyahu's statement about what he says they're going to do, he doesn't say we're going to wipe out Palestinians. He says we're going to wipe out Hamas. He doesn't say we're going to the West Bank to wipe out more Palestinians. They're not. They're not even moving on the West Bank. All the fighting, all of the atrocities, all of the terrorism comes out of the Hamas and the tunnels in Hamas on the Gaza side. And so that's what they're doing. They're wiping out Hamas and ensuring that there will no longer be a threat to Israel there. So they're not trying to wipe out Palestinians. But you're right, Palestinians as a people have been itinerant. There's not a nation state. There's not a former nation of Palestine sitting on the same ground we're talking about. They have been kicked out of Kuwait. They've been kicked out of Jordan. They've been kicked out of Egypt. I mean, these are folks that have made a bad name for themselves everywhere they've gone, and now they're paying the price for it.
Yeah, but the thing about it is, we're calling themselves Hamas today. They'll just change their name and call ourselves something else, and it'll be the same thing tomorrow.
Oh yeah,
these
mean
groups
this
are radicalized.
Yeah,
and these people, they basically they need to shove them out, and they're basically cannon fodder for all the Arab nations that surround Israel that use them as basically just think of them as the college kids on these campuses that hollering all this stuff and everything because they've been organized by a few instigators there and everything that they're basically a useful idiot for a cause.
Well, we're going to see where it goes, but right now the Israelis are not playing. They are marching their way through. I'm afraid too that Rafah is going to be like Fallujah was, you know, in Iraq. We'll see. All right, man. Hey, where are you on the road? Right, you called earlier in the show this time. So where are you?
Well, you're on a subject. I'm at just getting ready to pass Buc-ee's up here.
Oh, nice.
Going north.
Well, swing through, but, park on the outside, on the outer road, and go in and get you some real pickled eggs.
Yeah. But as far as the hostages and everything,
yeah,
have we never learned our lessons about hostages? The hostage negotiation there should be is that you release the hostages you took immediately, and we won't kill you near as bad because we're going to, if you know, we may let you live. If you don't, then the hostages are basically dead to us, and we're going to just carpet bomb you.
Well, that's, yeah.
It only kills people in the future. If you keep taking hostages, they're going to keep taking hostages because it pays off.
Well, and that's exactly right, and that's why Israel's not doing trades right now. They're not playing that game. But one of the reports I saw yesterday said that Hamas agreed that they would return the hostages dead or alive. What? I don't think many of them are left alive, to be honest with you, at this point. I mean, we're talking, it's been, what, 9-8 months? Hey, brother, I got to go. Be careful on the road, man.
See you, bud.
See you, bud. Hey, by the way, the lovely Charlene texted in and wanted me to remind folks, Israel does not just go in there and start raising the ground and salting the earth. They're not. They literally announce to the populace where the bombings are about to be. They help them set up what they call safe corridors for civilian refugee passage. They help them, you know, with leaflets describing, they drop leaflets and radio broadcasts all over the area. They even go so far as before they start the actual barrage, they'll drop smoke bombs because then people can see where it's about to hit. I mean, this is they're going way out of the norm. They're basically having to telegraph their plans in order to mitigate civilian casualties. And if someone doesn't leave at that point, it's their fault. I will tell you this. So what happened was this Hamas ceasefire. We have a ceasefire. There's a ceasefire. Everybody's all about the ceasefire. CNN, all the liberal media. Look, we got a ceasefire. It's all good. The Biden administration must have been working in the background, except Biden had no idea. Which, of course, that's nothing new. Biden had no idea. Well, guess what? Netanyahu had no idea. There is no plan. What there was a press release by Hamas, which was designed, we really believe now, just to make Israel look bad, like well, we had a ceasefire, but they wouldn't take it. They were making up their own ceasefire and saying, here's what we'll do, ceasefire. Sorry, doesn't work that way. You don't get to just jump up and say, Nick Schiessen, and expect the shooting to stop. It doesn't work that way. But that's what they're doing. But it's Hamas. I mean, what do you expect? It's deception. You can't trust them. So the Israeli War Cabinet, according to CBS News, Dateline 2 days ago, unanimously decided that Israel will continue its operations in Rafah in order to apply military pressure on Hamas so as to advance the release of our hostages and achieve the other objects of war. Israel has now seized a major crossing. So keep in mind that they believe in walls over there. Biden doesn't believe in it here, but they believe in it over there. Egypt's got a great wall between themselves and Gaza. They don't want them. They've got walls, you know, between Israel and the Gaza Strip that are not just walls above ground. They actually shove steel plates down into the ground trying to stop the tunnels. So they're building walls above and below ground. But they have crossing points, you know, border crossing points. Israeli tank brigade seized control yesterday of Gaza's vital Rafah border crossing Tuesday as Israel brushed off urgent warnings from close allies and launched its incursion into the southern city, even as ceasefire negotiations with Hamas remained on a knife's edge. There's no ceasefire negotiations. They're talking, but they're not playing around. You're not going to get 33 prisoners because you came in and kidnapped people. I mean, that's what they're doing. They're asking, they want a 33-to-1 return. You give us 33 Palestinian prisoners from your prisons, people who are committing atrocities and people who were, you know, caught in the act of crimes and violence. You give us 33 of those, we'll give you one of your hostages that we kidnapped in the early morning hours from their homes. Jackwagons. The United Nations warned of a potential collapse of the flow of aid to Palestine from the closure of Rafah crossing. The other, it's about to get real ugly. Now, last thing I'll just tell you. I'm not going to go into it as much detail as I thought I might. I've got a pretty good layout of it. But you may be hearing about the two-state solution. We need a two-state solution. A two-state solution. What does that mean? Palestine is not an actual nation state. There are those who believe that a two-state solution is necessary. In other words, Israel and Palestine shall be considered nation states side by side, and the world will recognize it, and all will be well. And then they can, you know, join the United Nations. Then they can, you know, fly their flag on their embassies and not just their, you know, liaison offices. They can be official. They can have trade. They ain't going to happen. No time soon. Hamas burned that bridge. Hamas doesn't want a two-state solution. They want Israel gone. From the river to the sea, what does that mean? Everything between the river and the sea is Israel. Okay, they want them gone. And it's not going to happen. I would say this. There was a time when the two-state solution was real. The two-state solution was even a part of the Oslo Accords. The Palestine Liberation Organization, PLO, under Yasser Arafat, actually agreed to a two-state solution in 1993. This is fairly recent. But I would say this, Israel now feels completely burned, and Israel has no reason to believe they can live next door to a country that elects people like Hamas, who then go in and do the things they did on October 7th. At this point, I believe that the two-state solution is dead. If it's resurrected later, it'll be because there is massive change that has taken place in what the world refers to as Palestine. So the negotiations have been abandoned. Netanyahu, the Jewish settlements, the West Bank, the two-state solution is on ice. And for Palestine to declare the two-state solution as being something they need, something they want, they've got no leverage right now. They burned that bridge. All right, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Coming back, we will change gears. Let's talk about what's happening in and around and amongst us right here at home. We'll cook up a batch of home fries. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.